Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Later on in the programme, I'm going to be joined in studio by GP Dr. Maura Finn. And today we're going to be looking at weight loss treatments for those who are clinically obese. So not cosmetic weight loss, not I need to lose half a stone. It's about people who are clinically obese and the treatment options that are available to them. And if you have any questions for Maura, do get them in now, 51551. She always takes plenty of questions when she's here. You can also email todaycb@rte.ie. Have you ever heard of a thing called a punishment pass? Well, cyclists claim it's when a bus or a car intentionally drives close enough to them to cause them to wobble or even fall. And a growing number of cyclists are recording these alleged dangerous passes and publishing them on social media. But with the recent expansion of cycle lanes in our urban areas, are motorists retaliating for being hemmed in, or are the cyclists getting more militant on our roads? To discuss this, I'm joined by Michael Sheridan, motoring correspondent, and Sheila O'Brien, Cycling Ulster Leisure Commission Communications Officer. You're both very welcome. Sheila, I start with you. We've spoken before about your cycling career and the great joy that you derive from it, but are you seeing more aggression on the roads?
I am, Claire, and I hate to say it, the joy is dwindling. Even as recent as May, I was taking part in a sportive, kind of went Fermanagh, Leitrim, Cavan, that area. My partner and I were coming into a small village, took a left, we're going up a hill, there was no place to pull in, and we could hear a big truck revving behind us. We had our cleats on, so we couldn't unclip. We both decided, by speaking to each other, we're going to get to the top of the hill, we saw a house there, and we'd pull in. So we got up the hill, I'm not going to say I was fast, it was on my 80th kilometer, got up the hill, we did pull in. As we unclipped, I kid you not, the back of the trailer came up to my shoulder. He completely pulled over the yellow line and came in on purpose on top of me. It was probably the scariest thing that's happened to me to date.
And you've no doubt that that was deliberate. You felt it was deliberate.
Oh, it was 100% deliberate. Absolutely deliberate.
Did you do anything about it?
Yeah, we did. My partner was terrified because he had been behind me and witnessed this. So he actually jumped off his bike and started running towards the truck. The truck did stop. There was a shouting match. We took his plate down. We did call the guards, but we were basically said if we didn't have any video on it, it didn't really matter.
Mm-hmm. And you have you thought about doing that? Because a lot of people are, as I was saying, they're recording now on GoPro cameras.
Yeah, look, it's something I'm going to have to really invest in. A lot of most of my incidents have been, you know, just so disheartening and negative. I have made a phone call a few times to guards, and I guess I just didn't trust that they'd even believe me with the video, but I'm going to have to do something like this, I believe, because it's happened a lot.
Mm-hmm. And Michael, what do you think? Is there more aggression on the roads, or is it just because we're seeing it now with the social media videos?
Well, it's a combination of both, Claire. We're seeing more of it because of social media, people posting, and everybody has access to an action camera. And there's also a very active cycling fraternity who video everything, and that's another issue because some people think that, you know, they're going out of their way to try and put themselves in harm's way to get stuff to satisfy an audience on social media. But the trouble is, modern cars, modern trucks, modern vehicles, you know, they're built for driving on open lane highways. And Ireland, we've got narrow roads. You put a truck down a road in Ireland, it's the full width and frequently wider than the road. So there's issues with professional drivers getting frustrated, and what happened to Sheila was outrageous and a criminal act, and the book should be thrown at that person. But also, people get lulled into a false sense of security in their own cars because they're so well insulated. The car is silent compared to cars years ago, and everybody feels they're cocooned. So there's a false sense of security, and then there's also this belief that the road belongs to the motorist, when in reality the road is for every road user. And people get frustrated and they let those issues get inside their head and they'll fight over 15 feet of tarmac when really, you know, it's absolutely not worth it. The car, the vehicle is always in the wrong, always in the wrong. And the harm and the trouble coming out of it is enormous. And it's just unbearable what can happen to people and injuries and so on. So it's really not worth it. But it is on the rise.
You see, you forget, Sheila, because I cycle in around here, and you've got cycle lanes for most of my route, which, you know, they're great, they're safe. But I was driving in Cork last week and there were some cyclists who were out in a group cycling two abreast, and I was behind them and I was waiting for a safe time to pass. But there was a row of traffic behind me and the guy behind me was right up against my bumper, sort of forcing me into a situation that's going to be unsafe. And my point is that you sometimes forget when you're cycling in an urban area just how dangerous it is on rural roads.
And the trouble as well is you know, the cyclists, they're entitled to ride two abreast. They're using the road, so they're able to be in their lane. And frequently, by riding two abreast, they're stopping somebody doing a dangerous overtake or inviting
That's what I thought was going on there. I thought those cyclists were trying to protect themselves by cycling two abreast.
It's the same. You'll often see it if you're driving along a country road, and you'll see some poor devil who's riding a really old motorcycle or moped, and they're riding it like a bicycle close to the ditch. Their position on the road is actually inviting people to overtake. So there's always clues in the road, and unfortunately we've got so many back roads, over 85,000 kilometres of back roads in the country, and the road markings, it's a continuous white line. You can't cross it unless you're going past a, you know, static object or something that's unusual. And the opportunity to overtake a slow-moving vehicle is very hard.
Okay, Sheila, your take on that.
I just want to add something to that, because, yeah, I agree with Michael 100%, because when we cycle in groups, we always point down if there's a hole or a gap or a grate. So, we know that the person behind us won't fall. Oftentimes, when I'm on my own cycling and I'm out where I'm supposed to be, even if no one behind me, I'm still pointing to the hole, the ditch, hoping that the driver behind me will see I'm pointing to something. There's a reason why I'm where I'm supposed to be out in that meter and not giving you way. It's not because I'm being a jerk. It's because if I hit that ditch traveling at 22 kilometers per hour, I'm going to be killed and I'm going to end up in front of your car and you're going to be part of it and it's going to destroy everybody.
And these
we have no patience.
These punishment passes, or whatever people want to call them, dangerous overtaking, are they making you nervous, Sheila?
Well, yeah, I was in Clare last week, which is so beautiful, and we cycled 3 days out of the seven. And you know what? I am an avid cycler, but I was so nervous on the roads. Now, they weren't obviously, there was lots of holiday makers, but people are just in a huge hurry. Nobody wanted to give us a break. And we do actually cycle single. My partner's always behind me. I know we're allowed to, entitled to single, to double breast, but he always cycles behind me just to keep an eye on each other. And they still fly by us way over speed, around corners. And this is a big one, too. When you're approaching a corner and you're a cyclist, you do tend to move out a little bit, not quite in second position, because if there's another corner coming towards you, there's no way that driver can see around it. And you stay out a bit so that they'll chill out and just let you get around the corner to make it safe for oncoming traffic.
Yeah.
And I just don't think people understand each other.
Michael, I just want to ask you about this phenomenon. We've touched on it of recording yourself as you're cycling. I mean, do you think that is forcing a confrontation between cyclists and motorists? Because the likelihood is that that's probably never going to end up well.
No, and it never will. And a lot of people do it for very valid reasons, and a lot of people would be cycling, and they'd also be cycling every day, remembering a loved one who maybe was injured or they lost to a road collision. And the funny thing is, funny is the wrong word, but the ironic thing is, a camera will, you know, it's no good to you when they're playing back the footage at your funeral.
Yeah.
It's not a protection device. It also can elevate and be a trigger for some drivers who are driving under stress or duress. You see, you never know the person, the mindset of the person who's behind you or tailgating. It could be somebody who's having contractions. It could be somebody who's rushing to the bedside of a poorly relative. It could be somebody who's overtired. It could be somebody who's just fleeing a bank robbery. You never know that. And the trouble is, those people will always exist. So the roads will always inherently be dangerous. But I think one of the things we should be looking at here, because we're not going to be able to instantly make the roads wider, why don't we take and reclaim inside the ditch and make greenways along all of those country roads so you can nip
in. Do you want to lead the negotiations with the farmers there on that, Michael?
But you know what? It would work so well, and it would be such a tourist thing as well. But the whole thing is, we have to, where the engineering can't be changed, we have to separate cars and cyclists. It's the only way to give safety and that we can guarantee. because car drivers will continue to use the road and they're driving something which is much quicker, much faster, and people then feel entitled to get to wherever it is. If I'm on a country road, I want to do 80 kilometres per hour. I don't have to slow down for a cyclist and then wait to overtake or do a dangerous overtake in a brow, because our engineering, the engineering of our roads as it stands, is so poor. Mm-hmm. So we have to find more creative ways to help people and encourage people onto their bikes so they can do it safely, because I know there's loads of people who would cycle, but they're terrified to do it because they hear of all of the sort of the badness that can happen to people.
Yeah, is there an issue, Sheila, around cyclists feeling if they're doing this competitively and they may be just competing with themselves and their own time, that the traffic is in their way and they feel they have a right to go through it in order to get to where they're going in the time they want to do it in?
Look, I can't speak from that point of view because I'm with leisure cycling, but I mean, obviously there is. Everybody's doing things for themselves. But I know that there's over 25,000 plus members across the island of Ireland with Cycling Ireland, and that those people, they know the rules. They know the way they're supposed to behave. I can't say who or who doesn't obey the rules, but I can't imagine that someone's willing to be that vulnerable and start to take a car on.
All right. Well, listen, nobody can be in that much of a hurry that they need to cause an accident. And keep cycling, Sheila. Keep cycling. That's the main thing, because I know that you really enjoy it. Michael and Sheila, thank you both for joining us. A reminder that Dr. Maura Finn is coming up next. We're looking at weight loss treatments for those who are clinically obese. 51551 for your questions for Maura, or email todaycb@rte.ie.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.